Oh, hallelujah. We want to apprehend with all the saints. So actually, that's where we're coming to this morning. If you open your packet to the third tab, or let's see, which tab is it? It's the third tab. It's the second morning session, though. And we're on practicing the twos and threes. And fourth tab, okay, sorry, I don't have my packet with me. It's over there. Fourth tab, or on the second session, practicing the twos and threes. And so, just so you know, I'm in the training too, and I have to keep my time. So I'm going to set a timer right now. And if you hear a beep, that's time for me to stop talking. And I'm going to pass the baton to some others. So don't be alarmed if you hear a beep. The only person who left their phone on was me. I've got it. I'm going to put it in airplane mode right now. If anybody else hasn't put theirs in airplane mode, now's a good time. Put it in airplane mode. But I've got this timer just so I keep take care of my time. So again, this morning though, practicing the twos and threes. So this afternoon, we're going to have an opportunity to practice the twos and threes. And this message is to kind of stir us up, help us to see something. Maybe some of you all are practicing twos and threes. Maybe some of you aren't. Or maybe some have done it a little bit, would like some help more with it. That's kind of the thought behind this message. Help us to see that we have a need. We have a need to be grouped together. Right? The song we just sang is from Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3:18 and 17, right, 17 talks about Christ making His home in our heart. Then the next portion, that we might apprehend all with all the saints, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of Christ. Right, our Christ is unsearchably rich. No one here can fully experience everything there is of Christ. That's why we need companions. Right? Maybe we've enjoyed the Lord to a great extent. We had a good enjoyment of the Lord this morning. Hopefully we did in our personal time. But we have a need. We have a need to apprehend, right? Who here would like to apprehend Christ? Right? Hopefully this week will be a week of apprehending. Okay, what does the word apprehend mean? Anybody? Quick definition. What's apprehend? Understand? Okay, that's good. But also there's another meaning. Here, brother. Yeah. Apprehend. Oh, no, not like that. Here. Apprehend. See, I've got a hold of this brother. I've apprehended him. Yeah, apprehend like a criminal, but you're not a criminal, brother. You're a brother. Amen. Right? Christ is so lovely. I want to apprehend him. I got to take hold of him. Amen. Right? That's the key thing. But see, thank you, brother. But I can't take hold of him by myself because he's so rich. Right? I need, oh, here we go, brother. You're going to be my companion today. Okay. See, I need another companion. Right? Together, how much more can we apprehend? Imagine like this. There's a field of wheat or something like that, right? And by myself, I get this big stack. But then the two of us, how much more we have, right? We apprehended more, right? I need a companion to apprehend more of Christ. Thank you, brother. So this is where we start. We want to apprehend Christ. We want to lay hold of Christ. Well, we need a companion to do this. Maybe you don't realize your need for it, though. Like I didn't really realize my need. I'm still learning. And so there's a key verse. Well, actually, I'm going to read this point to you first, because that brings it into the verse. And it's the first point in the outline. It says, the best way for the young brothers and sisters to experience Christ is to find at least two or three companions in the Lord. So that little phrase is really striking. The best way. What does that imply? Anybody in thoughts? May not be the only way, right? Personally, we can. Just like the example, I apprehended some Christ by myself. But you know, the best way? You want to apprehend more? You need a companion. The best way, right? I think pretty much in every field we're in, we want to take the best way, right? Right? If you were in school, you could take an okay way, but yeah, I took the major that I didn't really like. It was all right. No, you want to take the best way that you can. Right? You want to take the best. So the best way is to find at least two or three companions. Why? Why? Well, can't I pursue Christ by myself? I mean, I need personal time. Yes, absolutely. Why is this the best way? 2 Timothy 2:22 is a good pointer. Flee! Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay, real quick, does anybody not know what youthful lusts are? It's okay if you don't. Okay, everybody here knows because you're in college, right? You just go to a campus, youthful lusts are everywhere, right? If you're in a dorm, you're even more aware of how youthful lusts are just everywhere. But as Christians, we need to flee. Flee! I appreciate this brother. He shared, Paul didn't say, fool around, but don't go too far. No, he said, flee! Get out of there! Right? As an example of that, right? In the Old Testament, maybe you're familiar with it. Joseph, right? There was somebody who was coming to him in an improper way. It was a wife of Potiphar, I believe. And he fleed. He got out of there. She was coming at him. She had his clothes, and he just got out of it. He fleed. He didn't try to reason with her. Well, no, he got out. He ran. Right, okay. By herself, actually, it's not that easy. If anybody's tried to flee by themselves, you might find, you know, I wanted to flee. It says to flee, but I didn't flee. What happened? By myself, I didn't do it. Because there's a key to fleeing. And it's in the next portion. And pursue. Flee and pursue. If the verse just said, flee youthful lusts, period. We all have a command and it's like, how do I do it? How do I flee youthful lusts? Brother, how do I do it? It just says flee, I don't know. But it has something else. And pursue. And pursue. Righteousness. Faith. Love. Peace. But there's a key to pursuing also. Because you think, oh, great, I'm going to start pursuing faith, love, righteousness, peace. I'm going to do it. Anybody ever done that well by themselves? You read it, sounds great, I'm going to do it. And yet somehow we fail. Because the key for pursuing is with those. Everybody all together. With those. So this is to help us to see we have a need. We have a need. And our need is for companions. So this morning, I'm just going to share a little bit along the lines of this. Does anybody here want to grow in life? Raise your hand, right? Anybody here want to receive some spiritual benefit? Right? I want some help with their time of the Lord. When I say grow in life, I mean that you want the Lord to grow in you, to mature in you, right? You want the Lord to spread into your heart, right? How do we do it? What's the best way? We read the point. Best way is to find a few companions. Okay, once again, why? Well, we need some we can open to. Right? Related to fleeing, right? Maybe I have a weakness, but I just can't get through it. I don't know what it is. But you know what? The Lord has given us a way. We can open. We can open to someone. We can open to a companion. And so we can seek one another out. Maybe I can find this brother, Alex. You know what? I just can't get up in the morning. I love the Lord. The brothers talked about having time, but you know what? I can't get up in the morning.
Me either.
You can't either. You know what? As we start talking,
we need another companion.
Peter. 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 We can't get up in the morning.
Praise the Lord.
Peter. We just can't get through. What do?
I'll call you.
You'll call me.
I'll call you. Wake you up.
Amen. Amen. That's a good companion. That's a good companion. I'll call you. See that? Thank you, brother. So maybe at first, you know what? We got the same problem. And then Peter's like, you know what? I'll call you. Right? We need, by opening, sometimes you open and Peter was so gracious, he had a solution. I'll call you in the morning. Sometimes, though, maybe you've experienced this. You just start telling brothers, you know, I can't get up in the morning. I want to. And as you're talking, it's like the Lord says, it's because you got to go to bed at a good time. They didn't say it. They didn't say it. It was like the Lord said it. You want to get up? I want you to touch me too. You got to go to bed. That's the Lord speaking. So many times as you're speaking, the Lord may enlighten you. Just because I'm opening. Because remember, the Lord said, wherever two or three are gathered together, there am I. I'm with these two or three, and there's the Lord. And He has a way to say something. Brother, Peter's not going to say it. Alex isn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. Andrew, you need to go to bed. Turn off the computer. Don't check your email past a certain hour. You know, we all have that, right? Okay, so again, another example. You know, maybe our joy is just, you know, one time we really enjoyed the Lord, but our joy just is kind of not there. It's waned a little bit, our time with the Lord. And so, again, I just opened to my three companions here. Brothers, I just, you know, I mean, the church site was great and it's so good, but, you know, lately I'm not enjoying it so much, you know. But as I'm telling them this, you know, we're just opening. Maybe they share, all of a sudden, Peter starts to share, you know what, I went to the college training. You know, we were enjoying something on the human spirit, you know. And then Alex shares something, you know what, I was enjoying a verse from the college training. And it talked about, let Him kiss me. We have to let Him. As these brothers are sharing something to me, I got watered. I got nourished. You know, sometimes by myself, I might pray, Lord, where's my joy? Where's my joy? Lord, I need joy. Lord, be my enjoyment. And sometimes the Lord does. But other times, like, I just can't break through. But as I talk to these brothers, and there's a flow among us, all of a sudden the problem is solved. The problem gets solved. So again, this is to help us see the benefit. The benefit of having a companion. We need to open our weaknesses. We need to open our problems. We need to open the matters that we can't overcome in. Right? Anybody here have weaknesses? Anybody here have any problems? Any matters you just can't overcome in? Any matters that cause you to fall regularly? With companions, there's a way. Right? There's a verse our brother is going to share later. It's in Ecclesiastes. About companions. I'll save that. But a companion can raise up another. Right? If we have a companion, we fall, someone can raise us up, pick us up. Now, I'm trying to keep my time here because I want to leave enough time. But I want to go to the outline now and look at some examples in the Word. The first one is an example in the Old Testament. Joshua and Caleb. Right? So Joshua and Caleb, they were companions. Probably you all are familiar with the story, and I'm just going to give it kind of just in a very general way. But they at least started being companions when they went in to spy out the good land. Maybe they were companions before, I don't know. But for sure, they were companions, Joshua and Caleb, when they went in to spy out the good land. Right? There were 12 spies. They went for 40 days. You know, the Lord commanded them. They need to go out, check it out. Right? And that's what we're doing today, actually. We're all endeavoring to enter into Christ. We're endeavoring to enter into the good land. The reality of that is the Lord. And when they came back, 10 of them had an evil response. It's a good land. But, you know, it's kind of impossible. I mean, the Nephilim are there. The children of Anak are there. I mean, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's just no way. There's just, you know, sure, the Lord told us we should go in, but there's just too many obstacles. It's like, yeah, I went to the college training. It was awesome. But now that I'm back on campus, it's just not possible. It's, you know, they haven't seen my campus. They haven't been to where I'm at. They haven't seen what it's like. But there was one man there named Caleb. Actually, it didn't say anything about Joshua, but he was there later. He strengthened. But Caleb said, he quieted everybody and said, no. The Lord told us to go in, so we're going in. We're not going in because we have an ability. The Lord said to do it. The Lord will bring us in. So he had this faith. So guess what? Caleb was a particular kind of companion for Joshua. He was the kind of companion that stood against unbelief. Anybody ever had unbelief in your heart? Maybe just a little, right? You know, you hear a word and it's like, that sounds great. Then you get back and you just get discouraged and it's unbelief. But then there's Alex. There's Caleb. And he says, brother, I was there too. The Lord is going to bring us in. It's not you. It's not your ability. The Lord is going to bring us in together, brother.
Amen.
I got infused. So I need this kind of companion, right? So this is a very specific example. Caleb was a specific kind of companion for Joshua and Joshua for Caleb. And then the next one is David and Jonathan. Maybe you're familiar with the story. Maybe not. I'm going to share a little bit about it, though, right? Anybody, everybody here know who David is? David? Okay, so David is the top king of Israel. He was a man after God's heart. When the children of Israel, they came into the land, eventually they wanted a king. And so the Lord allowed them to have a king. They had a king named Saul. That king was not so good. He did some things mainly for himself, so the Lord took away his kingdom, and he anointed David to be king. And in that, though, eventually there was a problem between him and Saul, and so he had to flee from Saul. But the Lord gave him a companion. He gave him Jonathan, the son of Saul. And you might think, I don't want the son of this guy who's trying to kill me to be my enemy. But that was the Lord's provision. There's a footnote. It's 1 Samuel 19:2, footnote 1. Read through that note, and it's interesting. There's two things in there. It says the Lord gave Jonathan and Michal, which was his wife, as a provision for him to help him to flee. I couldn't believe it when I saw that in the note. Wow, the Lord gave him a companion as a footnote. He gave him a companion to flee, as a provision to flee. I'm going to say footnote, sorry. Anyhow, so the Lord gave him this kind of companion. And so we need to realize the companions whom the Lord has placed around us are a provision for us. Right? You might not realize, Alex, we don't even get along. I don't even know this guy that well. I mean, I just met him today. How are we going to be companions, you know? Right? But the Lord's placed us around. The Lord placed this brother in this chair. Now he's my example for the rest of the message. You can sit down there. So, the Lord places us around people. He was a provision. Jonathan was a provision for David to flee. And we need a provision. And the Lord has given us a provision to help us to flee. Okay, now another one. My time is evaporating. Okay, but now we come to Daniel and his three companions. How many know the names of Daniel's companions? All right, I'm going to tell you. Not their Babylonian names, right? We just did this in our Bible camp. Not the Babylonian names. We want Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, right? Because those names point to God. So Daniel and his companions, the Lord arranged for them to be together. But guess what? Their situation wasn't so good, right? It wasn't like they were, you know, just placed in a really great environment. No, their country got pretty much taken over. They got taken to a foreign land. I mean, you consider that. They got taken to a foreign land. Imagine, you know, like, here, I got Alex here. Good old Alex. You know what? From now on, your name's not Alex anymore. Your name is George. You know, I've changed his name. What is that? How's that going to make Alex feel? You know, it's not an ideal environment. Things are coming left and right. But you know what? They were together. And they were companions. And the key thing was, they were able to pray. I'm going to read you the verse. Daniel 2:17 through 19. When Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And I'm not sure, it depends. He might have forgotten it. There's an indication he might have forgotten it. Or at least, if he didn't forget it, he wanted to test out the ones. Don't just tell me, no, I'm not going to tell you the dream and then you tell me the interpretation. I want you to tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation. Maybe he forgot it. At least if he didn't forget it, he was really putting them on the test. And everybody's like, how can we tell you the dream? You tell us a dream, we'll tell you an interpretation. No. You tell me the dream and the interpretation. No one can do this. All right, then you're all dead. I'm going to kill you all. So it was a matter of life and death. And Daniel and his friends, they were up. They were some of these ones. They were going to be put to death. So what did Daniel do? You read the Bible and it doesn't say, Daniel went and prayed as a man of God. And he gave the interpretation to the king. It wasn't like that. No, he said, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. That that they might request. That they might request compassions from before the God of the heavens concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of the heavens. Amazing, right? He had companions. How many of us here, though, right? We're not quite in that situation. How many of us, though, have impossible situations? You look at it, it's like, there is no way out of this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. We all have something like that, at least to some level. Maybe it's just this impossible. I don't know how I'm going to get into the right school. I don't know how I'm going to make an A on this exam. It's not that crucial, but it might seem impossible at this time. Or maybe more impossible. A relative or a friend that you want to help them to come to know the Lord, and it just seems impossible. No matter what you share, they just don't seem open. It seems impossible. But guess what? Okay, brother, you get to join. I need three companions now. I need Sam, Peter, and Alex. Oh, George. No, your name is back to Alex. Okay. That's your God-given name. And I just make the thing known. You know, I've got a relative, and they're not open to the Lord right now. But maybe we could just, could we pray? Could we pray for my relative? And we pray. And I open that up to them. And Peter prays a prayer that's full of faith that I didn't even think was possible. He just says, you know, Lord, grant Andrew the utterance or something like that. Or grant somebody else the right situation. Maybe it's not even me that needs to speak to him. You know, and maybe it's Peter that needs to speak to this friend. But by opening it to my companions, then the Lord has a way to do something impossible. Amen. Thank you, brothers. We all have impossible things. Almost everything just seems impossible when it's like that kind of situation. But we need that kind of companion. So we need a companion to help us from unbelief. We need a companion to see that it's our provision to help us to flee. And we need companions to pray for impossible things. Now, there's some examples in the New Testament. And Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. Then in Acts 3, we see an example of it. It's carried out. Peter and John, and it's funny, I was just taking a mental note of this. Normally when I read through this like account, because it's like Peter and John, they go up, and there's a man there, and he's, you know, been kind of lame from youth or something like that. And in my head, when I'm reading this story, it's just like Peter's there the whole time. Just Peter by himself. Here, Brother Enosh. But actually, it was Peter and John. Enosh and Andrew. The two of them. Oh, I'm out of time. All right, I'm going to wrap it up, though, real quick. Key thing is, though, if you look at these points, it goes from two to more. Two to more. In the Old Testament examples, Joshua and Caleb, Jonathan and David. But then also in the New Testament, Peter and John. But then it goes to more. Daniel and his three companions. Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Luke. Right? We first off need to have one. But if we can get this with one, we can get this with more. We start with one. If we get one good companion, I start with Alex. Then I get Peter and Sam. The Lord will give us this. And just to highlight this again, I just want to share this real quick thing. We need three kind of companions, and this may be brought up. We need older companions with whom we can receive help. Sometimes there are certain things we can't fellowship with somebody our own age. We need somebody older. But other times we need ones that are our same age. Or maybe not same age, but same spiritual stage. But then other times we need someone younger than us. If we just have the other two, then we're not benefiting someone. The Lord, we need to pour out also. So we need someone older, same, and younger. This is just a principle. And it may not be all at once. Maybe you just have one of the three at one time. But it comes in stages. And just to realize, our eyes need to be opened. We might, I'll share a little quick thing and I'm going to stop. But my idea would be, oh man, who I want as a companion is somebody I was in the full-time training with. We're on the same page. That would be awesome. But you know who the Lord has placed me with? Is a dear 60-year-old brother that I have not that much in common with. Well, we have some things in common. But you know what? But if I were to say, oh, I can't be blunt with him. I need somebody just, then that's not right. We need to see who the Lord has placed us with and be open to whom the Lord has placed us with.
So, number one, practicing. So this line, we're actually going to have a time where you all will be given an opportunity to practice to be in the twos and threes. So this is a wonderful opportunity I just encourage you all to embrace it. So part of the training is just to learn how to practice the twos or the threes. Anyways, don't despise this kind of a practice. And then this morning we're coming to pursuing Christ in twos and threes. And in 2 Timothy 2:22 it says, "Flee youthful lust and pursue Christ and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, peace." And then it says, "with those." So the key thing, it says, pursue with those. Okay, but what specific number, right? We're at the college training. We could say, aren't I pursuing with those? On the one hand, sure, we could say that. All the brothers, right? You know, in your cabin, you're like, in my cabin, all eight of us, we're pursuing this week together. You know, all 313 of us, we're pursuing together, right? It's true. We are pursuing together, right? Amen. Are we pursuing together? Yes. Okay, very good. But the Bible gives us a particular number, a very specific and concrete number, and it's a lot smaller than 313, even smaller than the eight or so that you have in your cabin. And the number that the Bible reveals to us in relation to our pursuing Christ with one another is actually in the twos and the threes. To start with, the triune God himself is a two and a three. On the one hand, you say, well, isn't God three and a one? Yes, God is, he's three and one. Well, number one, for sure, God is three, right? God is three. He's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He's revealed himself as three. But many times in the Gospels, you will hear of only the Father and the Son and this harmonious relationship that they have between them. So on the one hand, God is three, but he's also two. So God himself is a two and a three. You look at all these examples in the Bible all these examples that Andrew mentioned, you have this matter of companions and pursuing together in the twos and threes. You know, whenever I think of pursuing Christ, I just think of this as an individual matter. I don't know if you all think of it that way. If I say, okay, brothers and sisters, we want to pursue Christ, if someone says that, right away, I'm thinking very individualistically. That means I need to read the Bible. That means I need to go pray, spend time with the Lord, exercise my spirit, you know, all these things. I would never put these two matters together with the twos and the threes. But actually, when we get into this, we can really see it. So just some verses for you all to get an impression of this matter from the Word. So Romans 2 says, two or three are particular numbers in the Scriptures denoting, number one, witness and testimony. So let's read these verses here. I'll just read them to you. Deuteronomy 19:15, the second half of the verse says, okay, listen carefully. At the word of two witnesses, okay, or at the word of three witnesses, shall a matter be established. So here you have, for witness and testimony, two and three, right? Two or three. It's right there, Deuteronomy 19:15. And then that's also coupled with 1 Timothy 5:19. That says, against an elder, do not receive an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. So here you have, in the context of witness and testimony, the unveiling of this very particular number, two and three. Okay, then we also have complement and match. This is Genesis 2:18. Okay, listen to this. And Jehovah said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper as his counterpart. So here we have Adam, but the Lord said he needs a counterpart. So not just one, but two. Okay, then we have partnership and companionship. These are the verses that Andrew was referring to earlier. Ecclesiastes 4, 10, I'm going to read from 9 to 11. Actually, I'm going to read from 9 to 12. So listen to this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. So just remember that on the campus. When you're doing something, two is better than one. Okay, listen to this. For if they fall, have you ever fallen in your Christian life? The answer is yes. The one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls and does not have another to lift him up. So this is a warning. Woe to the one who falls and does not have another to lift him up. Verse 11. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. And while a man may prevail against one, the two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So here we have partnership, companionship, we have mutual help and support, and we have strength and durability. And what I want to do real quick is just to some of these excerpts here, just to give you all a further impression of this matter. Hopefully you're still awake. I see some people yawning. Bear with me. We actually are going to have a testimony at the end of this time. Two sisters will come up and just share their experience briefly on the twos and threes. But what we really need to see is, number one, our need. Number one, the real spiritual benefit. And number three, this matter from the Word. Okay, listen to this. Suppose a young brother is having trouble understanding the Lord's leading concerning a certain matter. He can invite a few brothers over and fellowship with them about the problem. From our experience, we know that he can become clear even while he's speaking. Anyways, this is an amazing matter. Often, he will become clear before the brothers even respond. If you have a matter you're not clear about, you need some leading, just go find a companion. This is happening many times. Even as I'm speaking, I will become clear concerning the matter just because I have someone to fellowship with. Spiritual companions are such a great benefit because of the principle of the body. God is life, but he is not only in us individually, he is in us corporately. Therefore, whenever we fellowship, we will be helped by the other members, and they will be helped by us. In order to pursue the Lord in a good way, right? We can pursue the Lord, but maybe not in a good way. We want to pursue the Lord in a good way. We must find 3 to 6 brothers and sisters with whom we can fellowship together regularly. If we would practice this, our weaknesses will be swallowed up. Our problems will be solved. The light in us will become brighter. Our spirit will be strengthened and refreshed, and our love for the Lord will be more fervent. The benefits of having spiritual companions are too great. Without such friends, our condition before the Lord will be hazardous, and many problems will arise. We must have friends so that we can be balanced. Anyone who was in the training, hopefully you're impressed with that word, balanced and steady. Actually, you should read this excerpt. It says, some people are loners. They do not like to have friends. The more they are inclined to be alone, the more necessary it is for them to have friends, because friends will help them be more open. And friends actually is referring in this context to spiritual companions. So if you're a loner, you need friends. And the friends that we're speaking of this morning is spiritual companions. Actually, we're not just, this is a salvation. Anyways, you read this. If you're a loner, and I don't mean this in a critical way, read this excerpt. This is a great help, this little excerpt. This is really good. Okay, listen to this. Some brothers and sisters were the only child in their family and were spoiled in their youth. As a result, they have a closed temperament and a secluded disposition, which greatly hinder their Christian life. Would you ever thought, if you grew up in a family, you were the only child and you were spoiled, you could have potentially a closed temperament and a secluded disposition, and that could be detrimental to your Christian life, and that would want to make you desperate? Well, not want to, but hopefully. Anyways, it's just bringing out here, just in a very detailed, specific way, our need for companions. All of us in this room, we all need companions. I won't say anything else. Hopefully you all can spend some time. Just read this excerpt. It's really good. How about those two sisters, Angela and Anna? How about you all come up and you can just share your experience? They're over here. Good. So what these two sisters are going to do, this kind of first session is really just to open up the matter. Hopefully we can have some appreciation. These sisters are going to share their experience about how the Lord led them together. I believe you all are both at USC, right? Students there on the campus, maybe you all could say your name, your year, just introduce yourselves in a good way and share your testimony.
My name is Angela. I'm going into my junior year at USC.
I'm Anna. I'm going into my fourth year at USC.
And we're going to share a little bit of how we came together to be companions. So since high school, I had a very dear companion who I've had morning revival with every day and read the Bible with every day. And when I came to college, I moved into the sister's house because I really enjoyed having another sister to enjoy the Lord with. But when I moved into the sister's house, there were 12 sisters. And yet, everywhere I looked, I felt like there was no companion for me. And I became really sad at a point in my freshman year. And I talked to my mom. I was like, why do I not have a companion here? And I'm living at the sister's house. And my mom told me, why are you not companions with the sisters you're living with? And I became to realize that I really need a companion.
So I also lived in the sister's house, and during her freshman year, it was my sophomore year, and I had a hard time that year. I felt really alone, and so I went to the summer college training last summer, and we always hear about companions, and I was discouraged that I didn't have one, and I felt like there wasn't anyone around me who I could be companions with and who I could open up with, and I was fellowshipping with a sister, and she was talking about her companion, and I was just like, I have no one like souls, you know, no one I can pray with. And so I started praying for a companion. And that fall semester, I started praying with a trainee, but who also lived in the house. And she was like me. And it was really sweet, but we weren't the same age. It wasn't the same. It wasn't like having a student. And so, and then she left that fall semester to go, after the fall semester, to go to the Boston Extension. And so I started feeling really lonely again that spring semester in January and February. Felt like I had no one to pray with and to open my heart to. And so so I went to go fellowship with a family, and I was telling them I just felt like I had nobody around me. And they said, well, what about Angela? And I was like, oh, yeah, she asked me to have morning revival with her, but I didn't want to. and so then after that, the Lord just touched me, like, that she was around me. And so she's actually my roommate for both of those years. And so I went downstairs to go talk to her.
I was really helped by the International Chinese Speaking Conference at the beginning of this year. There was this fellowship with the students, and the brother pointed out three specific details for us to practice. And one of them was to pray with one or two other companions every day. When he spoke this, I was like, why is he speaking this as if this is so normal? And why do I not have this? And I really enjoyed the conference, and after that, I went back to the house and I shared with my roommate, so Anna. And I just brought these points up to her that the brothers told us to practice. And after I brought it up, Anna was so easy with it. She just said, yeah, let's pray every day. And it just completely took, I was so surprised because I felt like it would be hard for me to ask someone to pray with me every day. And I wasn't even sure if I could do it. But Anna just said yes. And I just can't believe how easy it was.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool because when I had fellowship that sister at the college training, she had mentioned how she had prayed every day with her companion. And so that was something I was praying for specifically, was someone to pray with every day. And then Angela came back, and I had fellowship with that couple. This was all like February. I had fellowship with that couple, and then she had gone to that conference like around the same time. So when we were talking and she mentioned how she was touched about this, about prayer every day, I was like, whoa, Lord. So, what do you want to say?
Amen. And since February, we've been praying every day for most of the weeks. And it's been sweeter and sweeter. I would not have imagined it would be this way. We would pray for ourselves. Sometimes I would feel very weak or have certain matters, and I would bring it up to Anna and vice versa, and we would pray for one another. We would pray for the sisters at our house and also the ones on our heart.
Yeah, and I have this very similar experience where the more we prayed, the sweeter it was, and the more I could open up to her, and then the more we could pray. And so it just kept getting sweeter and sweeter, and I noticed as we prayed more, our time as roommates got sweeter and sweeter, and I could come home and talk to her or open up to her about something that happened at school or we could like memorize verses together. I mean, from the whole spectrum, from like human to spiritual, I felt like our prayer together really founded that relationship, and so and our companionship.
Yeah. And I realized that this morning, like their brother spoke, that the Lord provides this because this is what He said in His Word. And this morning I just came to a new appreciation that the Lord really does provide when we ask Him for a companion. And when the Lord put this desire within me, I brought it back to Him and He prepared a companion for me.
Amen.
Okay, so a few things that we could really learn from them. Number one, anyways, this point that Andrew brought out about the Lord's provision for David was Jonathan and his wife, and that was a provision from the Lord. So, you know, with regards to this matter of companions, I just feel we need to be very simple. There was this brother on the campus. He was a new student, and I have a talk with him, and he told me he didn't have any friends on campus. And I mean, you know, he was a good-looking young man, just great personality, very likable. When he talked to me about this friend that he didn't have on campus, he was describing he just had the ultimate expectation of friendship, where he was just like, nobody's like me. And he was just like, he would use this term about everybody's just like popcorn. They're so superficial. You know, they're not deep. I want to have a deep conversation. I want to be able to connect with them. And he was really into a certain kind of martial art. And he was like, and nobody likes this martial arts. And I want to talk with them. And then he would tell me about this girl he wanted to meet. And then it would just go on and on. And then, you know, he was actually really depressed. And because he had this just a very abnormal expectation on friendship and even the person that he would possibly meet to spend his life with. And I feel when we come to this matter of companions, we have the same complexity. You know, we're on a, you know, anyways, you know, we could be on a campus and let's say there's 60 people on the campus. You know, ones who grew up in the church life or ones that were, you know, met the church while they're on the campus. And maybe some of the students there would feel, you know, I don't have a companion. Anyways, we all suffer from two things. We suffer, number one, from a superiority complex. You know what that is? It means when we think we're better than everybody. And so we look around, we kind of take a survey of the land, we say, okay, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, I'm better than you. Obviously we don't say that. And then we conclude, oh, there's no one who is equal to me on the campus. Therefore, I have no companion. Therefore, Lord, why have you isolated me? Why have you put me here? How could you do this to me? And then others would look around and they would say, oh, you're better than me. You're better than me. You're better than me. You're better than me. And they would feel, this is called an inferiority complex. And they would feel, oh, so bad about themselves that they would feel so bad to ask a brother. They feel so superior to be their companion. Saints, we need to drop these things. These things are big barriers to our coming together, to be joining together on the campus. We have to realize sovereignly the Lord has placed us on the campus together. Actually, the biggest salvation in my serving full time, that's my alarm, 15 minutes. My biggest salvation is a brother. He told us we were together at our team retreat. I serve on a campus team, and there's others. There's brothers on the team, right? The brother just said, he's the older brother. He said, look around. He said, those who are here on this team, these are your companions. So look at the ones on your campus. These are your companions.